Pendleton swap this morning. It was supposed to be Dave. Now it's me. So hopefully I don't disappoint, but you know. If I shake a little bit, I'm a little nervous, but you know, first time for everything. So I'm going to be going through some scriptures today that they're not new. They're not new at all. They're things that most everybody probably knows by heart, but God's been putting a lot of stuff on my heart here lately and having me see things. He's showing me things in a little bit of a different light and a different way. And so I'm going to just kind of tell y'all what's been going on, share all this with you, and it may have just been for me. I don't think so. But if more people get something out of it, then fabulous. If they don't, then that's okay too, because I managed to get up here and do this, because I feel like I'm supposed to. So I'm going to start with one thing. We had I know a lot of y'all know him, but we had a visitor years and years and years ago, and it stuck with me, and God kind of reminded me of this a couple months ago, and I've actually ended up having a excuse to share it with people. But good old Arthur Burt. Years and years ago, he said something that stuck with me then. It's sticking with me now. And it was, anytime you hear somebody say something, anytime you hear somebody give a word, anytime you hear somebody preach, spread a message, anything, you don't just listen and go, okay, yeah, that was good, and take it. You've got to put it through the fire. Put it through a test of the Spirit. Does it survive the test? What comes out the other end? When you sit there and you meditate on that word in the Spirit, what's the fruit from it? What comes out the other end? Does it survive the test? So that kind of came up to me and a while back, and it was like, you know, we need to do that with more stuff. We really do. We need to take, and when we're hearing things, put it to the test. Test it by the Spirit. So three things that have really been on my heart is trying to find the Father's heart and what's on the Father's heart. A lot of times we know what God wants, do good things, you know, help people, that kind of thing. But there's more to it than that. And then we need to align our hearts with His, and above all, love first. The greatest commandment is love. Love first, no matter what. If you walk in love, then everything else will work itself out. And I think sometimes that doing things in our own understanding, we can do things that are good, but sometimes we get to moving and doing things in our own understanding and trying to fight our own battles, and that'll keep us so busy that we end up not realizing it, but we lose focus on that. We lose focus on the most important thing that we're supposed to be doing. So I want to go to Deuteronomy, a couple of verses here. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4. And let's see here. Give it a second. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 4. I can read it too if need be. That's fine. Okay. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. Amen. God is the one. There's some really important key words in there. God is the one who goes with you. He fights for you against your enemies to give you victory. But who does the fighting? Not us. God does. Another verse, Romans 8:31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? There are so many times throughout the Bible that we just have this one thing that we keep getting reminded of. God is for us. He's going before us in battle. He is going first. We're supposed to follow Him, not charge ahead in our own understanding. So one thing that I got out of this, and you know, this is an old and new covenant idea. It's never changed. In Ephesians, we're even told what to put on and how to prepare. We're not preparing to do the fighting ourselves, but to stand firm. Amen. So if we can go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We've all heard that a million times. A lot of us could probably just about recite that by heart. But let me tell you, God really put something on my heart with this one. I'm going to go back to the beginning of it. So when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Amen. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm. It mentions the word stand three times in such a short period. So you talk about God going before us, God doing the battling, God giving us the victory. What's he asked us to do? Stand. To stand. And we've put on our armor, and we get ready for the battle, but he's the one that's actually going for us. He's the one actually doing the fighting. And you know, you think about, you put on your breastplate, you put on your helmet, you get your sword out, you've got everything ready, but we're just supposed to stand. Our job is to keep that armor on, to keep that armor in good shape, in good condition, and just stand secure. Stand in the truth. Stand in righteousness. Stand with our feet in the shoes of peace. We're clothing ourselves in, not armor, we're clothing ourselves in the things of God. We're clothing ourselves in the things of God because he is our shield. When we clothe ourselves in these things, he is our shield. He is our armor. He is our strength. He fights. He goes before. In all this, God's doing all of that. Our part's actually fairly passive. Amen. We've just got to stand there in our armor, secure, and pray and keep our faith and not let the things shake us up when they shouldn't and not get distracted and keep that focus. When you go to prepare, you're putting on all this stuff, but don't think of it as warm or but clothing yourself in these things, clothing yourself in peace, faith, righteousness, and truth. We're to clothe ourselves and then stand. He does the hard part. Right. It may be trite, but all we have to do is stand firm and let go and let God.
Right.
And we do have to do stuff. We've got to make sure that we stand firm in these things, but it really hit me because I've read that a million times, but I've never really paid attention to the whole standing part. Because too many times we will, and it's easy to do, you think, okay, well, this is a problem, I need to go fix it.
Right.
Maybe we're not supposed to run ourselves ragged going and fixing this, that, or the other.
That's right.
Maybe we're supposed to just stand firm and know that God's got this. No matter what it is, no matter how small, no matter how big, if we put our faith in the right place and keep this secure and keep our armor in good shape, God's got the rest. Why are we running around ragged? So let's see. When we stand firm, we should see all other aspects of this, all other aspects of our life, all other aspects of everything that we're worried about day to day. We should see those things fall into alignment because he is able to deal with problems a whole lot better than we are. Because we're human. We get stressed. We worry. We panic. It happens. So let's just hand it over. Okay, next verse, fruits of the Spirit. It's Galatians, everybody's familiar with it, but Galatians chapter 5, 22 to 23. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are our actions showing fruit? Are we keeping our armor in good enough shape? Are we keeping our armor on so that our actions and our day-to-day walk are showing the fruits of the Spirit? Are we a good example? You tell a tree by its fruit. When people that don't know us look at us, do they see that fruit? Do they see Jesus? Do they see peace? Do they see joy? Do they see love? Do they see kindness? Do they see goodness and faithfulness? Or do they see the stress, the arguing, the dissension, frustration, anger? Now, don't get me wrong. It's easy to do because, I mean, you know, life gets to you. It's hard. If it was easy, well, you know. But it's not. It's hard. But when we say things and we don't keep our armor in check, we let some of that stuff out, and we don't know what kind of an impact it may have when we're just even talking to somebody that we're in line behind at Walmart. Because they hear our conversations. Even a tiny little thing that's just a little bit of a negative frustration that means next to nothing, you voice it around the wrong person, and it could actually do damage. But are we a good example? As the body of Christ, we have a duty to others to rise above what we see going on in the world, to rise above the things that are the day-to-day life, to stand above the division that we're seeing so rampant in this country. Right. We're not people fighting against people. It says in the Bible that we do not fight against flesh and blood. But as a whole, I see Americans fighting against what? Against flesh and blood. Why? I'm an American. You're an American. We're all Americans. We're all in this together no matter what happens. But as the body of Christ, we have a duty to others to rise above these things, to rise above the things of the day-to-day life and stand above this division. We have a duty to set an example to the world around us. What kind of example are we setting if we're just as divided and unfocused as the rest of the world? Our focus has got to be on the right things. Then everything else falls into place. It isn't our place to judge others. Last time I checked, there's one judge. All he told us to do, we've actually got the less stressful job, if you think about it. All he's told us to do is love. Love and love first. Love all people. Love people. Love all people, no matter what. It's really easy when you are talking about friends, family members, neighbors, people that you've been spending plenty of time with that you love hanging around. It's really easy to go, yeah, I love you. It's really easy to love your friends and family in the church. But what about strangers? What about those you disagree with? Differing opinions should not mean that you don't still walk in love. Those that have harmed you, what about those? What about enemies? Can we love the people that we consider our enemies? It's not easy to do. It's not easy to do at all. But we're told to love our enemies and to turn the other cheek. Are we doing that, or are we letting our enemies get to us and chip off bits of that armor? If we're paying attention to our armor and keeping it in good shape, this won't happen. Seek him first, and all else will fall into place. Some things aren't what they seem. Sometimes God does things differently than we expected. Exactly. Because he's got a bigger plan that we don't understand and don't know. I mean, you see things happen all the time. You're like, why did that happen? That's not how I expected it. But the next thing I know, time goes by, and it's like, wow, that worked out better than I thought. So God does things differently than we expect. But we shouldn't waste our time trying in our own understanding to solve the mysteries that God is keeping from us at the time. Maybe there's a reason he's doing it different. Maybe he's trying to not just shake everybody up. Maybe he's trying to shake us up too.
Amen. Yes.
I'm fine with a little bit of shaking. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure I'm awake when I need to be. He will reveal everything to us in his timing. It's not for human understanding. Some things may seem dark at the moment, but no matter what's going on and how things appear, we can rest assured that God will work out all things for good and for his purposes. He does that. Not us. We just have to stand in our armor and stand in love. He does that. He's doing the work. What more can we want than that? Man is way too small to mess up anything in God's will. If God wills it, it'll be done. It may not be done today. It may not be done tomorrow. It may be done a year from now. It may be done 10 years from now. But we are not big enough to do anything that's going to completely wreck his plan.
Right. That's right.
So we need to just sit back, relax, and let him do it because we know he's got the better idea. And, I mean, it makes things a little easier when you're thinking about it, and you're like, okay, well, this is really stressing me out. But no matter what, God's got it. It'll work out for the good.
Right.
Me freaking out about it's not going to help. It's not going to make matters any easier. Let's just move on and let God do it. Something that keeps coming up, and I mean, you listen to the radio, you listen to podcasts, you listen to messages, you listen to, you know, stuff on Facebook. Some things that keep coming up and won't let me go is what's on God's heart. And he's really been dealing with that with me. I keep getting this, find my heart, find my heart, find my heart. You need to find my heart. People need to find my heart. A few days ago, I was listening to something, and it didn't feel quite right. It was one of those things I was listening to, and the speaker and whatnot, and I was listening to the radio, and it was like, you know, this should seem right. But for some reason, it didn't resound in here like it should have. And so I couldn't figure out why, and I wanted to make sure, you know, because sometimes our barometers or whatever, so to speak, can get off. They can get off kilter. So I wanted to pray about it and make sure that it wasn't just something in me that wasn't responding well to what I was hearing. I had to test it, kind of like Arthur Burt said, put it through the fire, see how it goes. I had to test it to be sure God was in it, and what I got after praying was confirmation that it wasn't his heart. And let me tell you something. That was one of the hardest, most gut-wrenching things I've ever had happen. When I'm listening to something and I pray and I heard, it was almost as if he was sitting right next to me and goes, you know why you're having a problem with this, right? This isn't my heart. It broke me. It hurt deep in here.
That's right.
About as deep as it could. I could feel it in my bones. The thing is, we as Christians, we mean well. But with everything swirling around, and there's a lot of chaos this year. There's a lot of division. There's a lot of chaos, a lot of stuff to catch our attention.
Right.
We mean well, but I think we can run too far and too fast.
Right.
God's got us and going before us, and we can get excited and just go, pew, right past. And we run too far and too fast in our own understanding, and it's so easy to lose sight of God's heart without even realizing it's happened. So there's where that heart alignment comes in.
Amen.
And to get our hearts aligned with what's in his, we have to ask him. He speaks to us all the time. We just have to be open to hearing him. He wants us to press in. We don't just get a taste and go, okay, well, we've said hi to God today. That's good. It was a nice service. And then it's time to go. He wants us to sit down. It's like a family member that hasn't seen you in a while. He wants us to sit down and spend some time with him. Don't just give him a few minutes of what's left of your day. Give him time to spend with you. Don't just assume you know the Father's heart, because we do. We know a lot of what's on the Father's heart. But take the time to ask him, and he'll give you an answer. And it may be a lot of stuff. It may be a couple of little things. But he always has an answer, and he's always right there ready to talk. We just have to be able to open the lines of communication and go, hey, what do you have for this? What do you have for my day today? Is there anything you want to tell me? We need to set aside part of our heart, part of us for him. Another thing that's been getting me a lot, and I was talking to Dave about it, is the point of tithing. When we tithe, we give 10%. But have we ever thought about, and that's 10% of our income, have we ever thought about giving 10% of us? Giving 10% of our thoughts? It doesn't sound like a lot, but it's tough. Setting aside, what if we set aside, you know, like you do the first 10% of your income? What if you set aside the first 10% of your day in the morning? What if you set aside a dedicated 10% of your day to spend with your Father? What happens? I'm betting it's going to be something pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. But what if we tithe of ourselves, of our time, of our energy, of our emotions, of our heart? What if we tithe 10% of our heart, give it to him, and then he returns it back to us, more in alignment with him? He just wants us to sit down and spend some time with him. He is calling for his bride. And in any marriage, you talk. If you don't, it's not much of a marriage. You have communication, you talk with each other, and you enjoy spending time together. He's calling for his bride, and it's time we start acting like it and having that close relationship with him.
Amen.
It's time that we start really spending time with him and pressing in to see, what do you have for me? I mean, I know that, you know, I can name all the good things, and, well, yeah, I know God's got this for me. I know God's got health for me. I know God's got this for me. But what if we ask him? When we walk through those doors, there's nothing more important than spending time with him. And that's what we do. Sunday after Sunday, we come in and we spend time with our Father. We spend time in worship and praying, and we need to cast our cares on him and enjoy spending time with him. He's with us all the time. We can live in constant communion and relationship with him. It starts with us, though. He's already done his part. He's right here. So it starts with us. We have to start that dialogue. He's always there and always ready to listen and ready to share his heart with us. So next verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's another one I'm sure everybody knows. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. It's a definition of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. That's a lot. But many times it says, love first. So back to, is this what people are seeing? Are people, when they look at us, and it's tough. Even work days are tough sometimes. Are we being patient? Are we being kind? Are we being boastful or envious? Are we being proud? Are we honoring others like we're supposed to be? Sometimes we are, sometimes we don't. I mean, you know, it just happens. It's life. We're human. Let's see here. Another verse, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 19. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength. Spirit of wisdom and revelation. What's the reason for it? So that we can know him better. Amen. We walk in love and we walk in constant relationship with him to know him better and keep our hearts aligned on him. Romans 12, 9 through 12. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. He wants us to be passionate. He doesn't want us to lose our zeal, but make sure that when we are passionate, we are passionate for him, passionate for his heart, passionate for the things that he wants, passionate for his love and to show his love for others. And it all comes back to the armor. Are we walking in truth? Are we walking in peace? Are we walking in righteousness? And we've got to keep that armor in check. And above all, love first.